crowd. We thank the Lord for each of you that are here. And boy, I tell you what, when you spend your life in meetings like this, in services like this, you'll understand the statement, you hardly hear a song that you'd never heard before. And that ensemble, I believe that would be the technical term with Brayton for them, the ensemble that sang a moment ago, I've never heard that song before. And that say a whole lot when somebody spends their life in these type of meetings, and what a blessing. In fact, while they were singing, I was thinking to myself, in this week-long revival meeting, it would not hurt my feelings, Brother Dickerson, one bit if they sang that song again. Can a brother get a witness? That would not hurt my feelings. Now, no pressure. I'm not about pressure. No pressure. But you know that I've been here long enough preaching that if Hamlin ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so I appreciate the good singing tonight and the wonderful spirit and the strong crowd. The strong crowd for revival. I hope you had a good afternoon. I certainly did. I was able to get a little bit of rest before the service tonight, and not bragging, but I'm always a better preacher, Dr. Leafley, always a better preacher when I rest in the afternoon before preaching in the evening. I'm always a better preacher. And so I don't know if you're looking forward in hearing me tonight, but I'm looking forward in hearing me and was able to get some rest and to get ready for the service. I had mentioned that, well, in a meeting one time, that I believe naps are scriptural. I believe in the Bible there are naps. And I went ahead and quoted Revelation 8 and verse 1 that says, in heaven there'll be silence for the space of a half hour. And I went on to tell that audience that I believe naps are in the Bible. We'll nap in the Bible. Revelation 8 and 1. Lady came to the book table after the service, and she said, no, it's not naps in the Bible, Revelation 8, 1. It's no preachers in the Bible. Silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. I said, well, ma'am, there's another interpretation of that scripture, and that is there'll be no mother-in-laws in heaven. Now, I was able to get some rest and get ready for the service tonight, and thank the Lord for each of you that are here. Now, Dr. Leafley, are we online? Are there folks watching by way of internet? Are we live streaming? Well, we want to welcome those that are watching and will watch, and hope that you will, I would imagine it's Facebook and YouTube, that you'll share it, that you'll like it, and we'll be able to get the message out even further than the four walls of the Bible Baptist Church. I've been coming here now for a number of years, and look forward every other year in coming and being with our dear friends, the Leafleys. I'll be forever grateful that the Lord, now a good number of years ago, allowed our paths to cross, and I believe knitted our hearts together. Dr. Leafley and his family, they're not acquaintances, they're not associates, but they're actual friends. And I love to be around them because they sharpen me, they encourage me, they bless me, and I like to have friends that because of the busyness of the ministry that you don't have to talk to every day, that you don't have to talk to every week, that you don't even have to talk to every month. I've made an observation in life that the people outside of your own family that you have to talk to every day, those usually are the people that fall out with you the fastest and the first. And so I like friends like the Leafleys where you just, because of the busyness of the work of the Lord, you just take up where you last left off. And every time we're together, it is like a family reunion. And then the new friendship of Brother Braytonton and his family, I'm just absolutely excited and elated to be here. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And I'll begin reading with verse number 1 through verse number 8, where we find the text of the message. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning with verse number 1 through verse number 8. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Dr. Leafley, is there water underneath this pulpit? Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Right there. All right. That's from this morning. Good. Okay, thank you. That'll work. That'll do the trick. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse number 1 through verse number 8. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And, behold, there were very many in the open valley. And, lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, I'm not going to preach entirely from this third verse that's found here in this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I cannot read it without making some type of a comment. You'll note in this verse a question mark, and I would underline it, I would circle it, I would underscore it in my Bible. And on the heels of that, let me say that whenever you find a question in the Bible, when it is a question from divinity to humanity, it is never for divinity's information, but for humanity's conviction. Of course, you know that God is omniscient, which is a great big long theological term for all knowing. So when you find a question mark falling from the lips of God, it is never for his information, but it is for our conviction. Can a brother get a witness? Verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Please look back with me at verse number 7, book of Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want you to place a mental tent around that phrase. I've underlined it in my Bible, and it's the phrase, bone to his bone. You see it? There it is, bone to his bone. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, Revival at Dry Bones Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and glory and honor. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. From one end of the scriptures to the other, saints can find the strange and sundry scenes of a spiritual awakening. If a mighty move of God can manifest itself in a cemetery, then it can also manifest itself in a church. Spiritual awakenings are never limited to a certain locale or location. Revival at Dry Bones Baptist Church. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, we find the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the symbol of the skeletons representing Israel's resurrection, verses 1 through 14. And then the symbol of the sticks, there representing Israel's reunion, verses 15 through 28. It is well the prophet Ezekiel is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the symbol of the skeletons representing Israel's resurrection, that a person sees the uniqueness of a scriptural, spiritual awakening. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, who once said about our text, decayed churches can most certainly be revived by the preaching of the word, accompanied by the coming of the heavenly breath from the four winds. Then he said, O Lord, send us such revivals now, for many of thy churches need them. Now the sister verse of Ezekiel 37:7 is Psalm 77:14. And as you've heard me say any number of times in any number of services, every verse in the Bible has what I call a sister verse, and often that sister verse will throw more light upon the verse that you're musing, meditating, or making a study of. Again, the sister verse of Ezekiel 37:7 is Psalm 77:14. Thou art the God that doest wonders, thou hast declared thy strength among the people. It is noteworthy, Brother Matthews, that the prophet Ezekiel gives in this narrative the three necessities of revival. He mentions preaching, verse 7. He mentions praying, verse 9. And then he mentions prevailing power, verse 10. And those are the three, if you will, necessities, the things that are needed for revival. Never forget, like Israel, the local church will never have revival until first and foremost God brings together and then touches the bones of his people. If you miss everything that I preach tonight, oh, I pray that you would not miss that, and it even bears repeating, like Israel, the local church will never have revival until first and foremost God brings together and then touches the bones of his people. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, need God to again set and supernaturally set into motion the skeleton of his church. Now quickly tonight, there are four. There are four bones that at Dry Bones Baptist Church that revival will always bless. You say, Dr. Hamlin, how do we know that we're in revival? How do we know that we're having a mighty move of God? How do we know that we're having a spiritual awakening? Well, there are four bones that revival will always bless, that revival will always favor, that revival will always benefit. Let's quickly notice it tonight. Revival at Dry Bones Baptist Church. Number one, the knee bone. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. A bone. At the Dry Bones Baptist Church, that revival will always bless is the knee bone. In Luke 22:41, the physician Luke tells us that within hours of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the whore of Golgotha, he visits the Holy of Holies of Gethsemane. A person, Brother Dickerson, must note that Jesus is on his knees in this noteworthy place. Dr. John R. Rice once wrote about this scene in the Scriptures. There are eight very ancient olive trees and a church that has been built around a great stone protruding from the ground, which is called the Rock of Agony. Dr. Rice went on to write, however, the Scripture says nothing about Jesus kneeling or praying on the rock, and that is simply unfounded tradition. But know this, Jesus didn't text, email, or Snapchat a prayer in. He got down to his knees, prayed, and every person who's been saved by God's amazing grace from that moment to this minute is an answer to that single prayer. Friend, you and I need God to again set and spiritually, supernaturally set into motion the knee bone. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Breaking news, it is still a cause. Like a prodigal son or daughter, an unexpected bill, a lost soul, and especially revival down at the church house that will drive a Christian to their knees. You see, if we're going to have revival, then we're going to have God set and supernaturally set into motion the knee bone. Minister was, Dr. Leatley, watching some men repairing a section of highway. His attention was especially drawn to an elderly man who knelt as he broke stones for the hole in the highway. The minister observed that this man did more work than the ones who are standing while breaking stones. Then he said to the kneeling man, whom he knew well, John, I wish I could break the stony hearts of my hearers as easily as you are breaking those stones. With a twinkle in his eye, John said, preacher, you could if you worked on your knees. Oh, if we're going to have a mighty move of God, if we're going to have more than just a meeting, if we're going to have real, authentic, genuine revival, then we're going to have God set and supernaturally set in motion the knee bones. Number two, the hand bone. Psalm 134:2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. A bone that at Dry Bones Baptist Church that revival will always bless is the hand bone. In Psalm 134:2, the unknown psalmist tells us in a basic tutorial on worship that a hand raised and a hallelujah reiterated is in place at a biblical service. True praise and worship is never an embarrassment to the triune God, the King James Bible, or the faith of our fathers. Now, I like that so much, let me say it again. True praise and worship That's a phrase that we hear all the time. Praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship. Well, true praise and worship is never an embarrassment to the triune God, our King James Bible, or the faith of our fathers. And if there is a bone that we need God to set and supernaturally set into motion, is the hand bone. Now, there are several things that the saint ought to easily shout over. And I've got to tell you, being very transparent, that it's on my bucket list. And I think everybody has a bucket list. On my bucket list is to, at least one time in my ministry, have the kind of service that when the charismatics, the emotional crowd, the Pentecostals hear about it, it's just on my bucket list, Brother Matthews, to have at least one service in my ministry that goes just so out of the banks that when the charismatics and the emotional crowd and the Pentecostals hear about it, they say, you know, those Baptists, they've gone too far. That's on my bucket list. And there are several things that the believer ought to easily shout over. It may shock you, it may stun you, and it even may surprise you. But first of all, His protection. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Oh, a thing that the saint ought to easily shout over is His protection. You'd shout yourself hoarse, Christian, if you only knew how God watched over you and your family in the last 24 short hours. You'd shout yourself hoarse. I came down around Christmas time with what our former president, you know, the legitimate one. Don't bow your head, we're nowhere near closing in prayer. Called the Kung Fu Flu. And I had gotten the coronavirus, and Dr. Leafley, I was pretty much out for the count. And Mrs. Hamlin she's diabetic, and she has asthma. And those are two things that you don't want to have if you come down with the coronavirus. And she was taking care of me and somewhat quarantined, but couldn't really be quarantined to take care of me. And she never, my brother, never came down with what our former president called the Kung Fu Flu. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what President Trump said. He called it the Kung Fu Flu, and I think he pretty much was bullseye when he said it. But it's amazing, Dr. Leafley, she never got it. She never got it. I think I got it at the Atlanta airport, or I got it at the gas station, or I got it at dry cleaners, or who knows where in the world I got it, but it's just amazing that I would get it and that she wouldn't get it. And hey, I'm not here to tell you whether pro or con when it comes to this mask issue. That's not what I've been brought here for, but I will say I'm pretty happy that some women are wearing those masks because that's the most material that you've had on in church in a long time. Say amen right there. I like what somebody called them. They called them a face diaper. I don't know. That's just what they called it. But you know, I think about just in the last couple of months how good God's been to me and how good God's been to you in protecting you and I and keeping us from any number of things. I was preaching back in January in a revival meeting in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I had gone back Sunday afternoon like I usually do. Went through a drive-thru, got something to eat, went and took it back to the room where I could rest and get ready for the service that night. When I came back to the motel room that afternoon, there happened to be an Indianapolis coroner's van parked outside of the motel where I was staying. You never want to see that. And there was that coroner's van, and there were several police cars, and I just went and pulled up to the car that looked like it pretty much was the command car, and I rolled the window down, and I said to an officer, I said, looks like we've had a death. Didn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure that out. I said, looks like we had a death. He said, we did.
I said, was it natural causes or otherwise? He said, no. He said, yes, it was natural causes. I said, okay, thank you. I appreciate your help. He said, yes, sir. I rolled the window up and drove on. You know, it's amazing what you can find out if you just act like you own the joint. It's amazing what you can find out. And so I pulled around the motel and I went and got a parking spot. And as I was getting out of my vehicle and getting my lunch and my Bible and overcoat, I happened to notice they were just bringing out the body on the gurney to put it in the Indianapolis coroner's van. And I watched them as they put that gurney, that stretcher, and that body wrapped in a white sheet back in that van. And I thought to myself that afternoon that in the middle of the night or early that Sunday morning, either Saturday night or Sunday morning, the death angel was at my motel. I thought about that afternoon. I thought about how that either late that Saturday night or early that Sunday morning, the death angel was walking up and down the hall of the motel that I was staying at. And I thought about how maybe he was on my hall or he was on my floor. And I thought about how maybe he went to knock on my door, the death angel, when all of a sudden the elevator on the other end of the hall opened up and Jesus came running out and said, oh no, not that door, not tonight. His protection. Did I mention we'd shout ourselves hoarse if we only knew how God has taken care of you and I and our families in the last 24 short hours? His protection. Secondly, His providence. Psalm 103:22, bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, a thing that the saint ought to easily shout over is His providence. God doesn't have a panic button or a panic room near His throne in glory. Did it ever occur to you that it's never occurred to God? Did it ever dawn on you that in the vast, mighty, and wonderful vocabulary of divinity is not the phrase, oops? His providence. Man, we ought to easily shout over His providence. I like what old Mays Jackson said, Dr. Leapley. He said, all of God's trains run on time. Oh, dear friend, you and I ought to easily, this burn you're letting on, ought to easily there shout over His providence. Thirdly, His provision. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. A thing that the saint ought to easily shout over is His provision. Till you can raise a happy hand to heaven for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you wouldn't appreciate a filet mignon wrapped in bacon. Say, boy, I'd shout if I had a filet mignon wrapped in bacon. No, you wouldn't. Because you're not shouting over a bowl of Captain Crunch. You're not shouting over a bowl of Wheaties. Boy, I'd shout if God gave me a filet mignon wrapped in bacon. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because you're not even shouting over Apple Jacks. You're not even shouting over that last meal that you had. In fact, your wife could stand and testify that you grumbled about it instead of being glad about it. Brother Dickerson, when this coronavirus crisis started, which turned into coronavirus craziness, my spring calendar was absolutely decimated within just a couple days. I mean, Dr. Lee, the bottom, no exaggeration, the bottom of my spring calendar fell out. I've eaten more of Mrs. Hamlin's home cooking In all the years that we've been married, be 40 years this June, I've eaten more of her home cooking during that coronavirus crisis, which has turned into craziness, than I have in our entire married life. And I have the extra pounds to prove it. She'd go to the grocery store and I'd go with her. I've never done that. Never have. Never been home to do it. And I don't know, several weeks into it, one afternoon, she seemed to be a little stealth about what she was doing. And I asked her, I said, you going somewhere? She said, oh, I know you're studying, and I know you're preaching on the internet, preaching on the radio and television and Facebook, and I'd never want to just interfere with that. And I said, I've got all kinds of time. She said, oh, no, I don't want to bother you. I said, you're acting like wherever you're going, you don't want me to go. To which she replied, I don't. I said, well, where is it that you're going that you don't want me to go? She said, well, I'm going to the grocery store. I said, why would you not want me to go to the grocery store? To which she said, every time I've noticed that you've gone with me, I've spent at least $100 more every time you go. To which I replied, if this is the end of the world, we're going to have snacks. Oh, yeah, we're going to have snacks. His provision. Early in it, I have my cell phone, brother, right in front of you. In fact, when I tell this, I want you to watch it because somebody may steal it after I tell this. But in my cell phone, in the phone directory, I have the personal cell phone number of 5 millionaires. I want you to watch that phone, because now I want you to watch it. I want you to guard it. And Dr. Leithley, when all this happened and my calendar, I mean the bottom fell out of it and my spring was literally decimated, not one time that I call any one of those 5 individuals, not one time. In fact, one of them called me. I'm not at liberty to tell you who it is. It's kind of confidential, but his name is on a Bible college, and it's not Hiles. Oops. And one day, Dr. Russell Anderson called me from Hawaii, suffering for Jesus. And he said, Dr. Hamlin, are you all right? I said, I'm doing great. He said, but your meetings, they've been canceled because of the coronavirus. I said, I'm doing great. He said, but that's how you live. I said, I'm doing great. He said, but all those meetings, they've been canceled and they've been rescheduled. And I said, Dr. Anderson, did you call me for a loan? And not one phone number did I call. Not one phone number did I send a text. Not one corresponding email did I send an email. And I'm happy to report, I told Mrs. Hamlin when it all started, Dr. Leithley, we have not preached victory all these decades to live in defeat now. And I'm happy to report to you, every bill's paid. There's food in the cupboard. There's ice cream in the freezer. Say amen right there. There's gas in the gas tank. There's money in the bank. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying to you that if we just thought about for a moment His provision, man, we ought to say amen. And we ought to say glory to God. And we ought to say hallelujah. Because even right in the middle of a pandemic, God still is good. Will take care of His children. The Dickerson, I've said it all across this country. There are young people like your grandchildren and like my grandchildren. They're looking at us wondering, is this real? Now, I've heard him preach it when things weren't bad. I've heard them sing it when things weren't bad. I've heard them teach it when things aren't bad. And the next generation, Dr. Leithley, is watching us, especially now, to see if it's real. And I'm happy to say it is real. God will take care of you every single time. Oh, that every single individual that was in this service would realize that the things that we ought to easily shout over as God's people, His protection, His providence, and His provision. I was preaching the other night. Went to leave the motel room like I always do. Before I leave the room, like I always do. It's not spiritual, but it's true. Like I always do before I leave the motel room, I stick my hands in my pocket to make sure my pockets are smooth and to make sure the flaps are out. Man, it'd be a terrible thing to try to preach that King James Bible with one flap in and another flap out. I've got some friends that I preach with, Dr. George Griffiths, I won't call any names, but I've heard them preach with one flap in and one flap out. And I sit there waiting to preach, getting nothing out of the sermon. If you can't get your flaps right, I don't want to hear you preach. Told you it wasn't spiritual. You enjoy it, but it wasn't spiritual. And I was in my motel room just ready to pick up my Bible and head to the pulpit, put my overcoat on, and like I always do for the Matthews, I went ahead and made sure those flaps were smooth and those flaps were out. And I stuck my hand in my pocket and I felt something and it felt green. And I thought, oh my, green has a feel all to itself. And I pulled out something that somebody had shaken my hand and put in it weeks ago that Mrs. Hamblin didn't know anything about. Is provision. Oh, listen, hey, it shouldn't take a choir singing your favorite song. It shouldn't take a special, like we heard a moment ago, though it was a blessing. It shouldn't take the song leader absolutely hanging you over hell to get you halfway in the spirit to hear preaching. What a hit that door ready to worship. What a hit that door ready to shout. What a hit that door ready for church. And these things ought to cause us to easily shout, His, oh my, protection, His providence, and His provision. One who had just begun his Christian faith attended a religious convention. After a few sessions, a friend who accompanied him asked, how are you enjoying the convention? The man replied, this new convert, well, let me speak frankly. If I had still been unsaved when you brought me here, I would have thought how defeated and dejected this group looks. There's something wrong, isn't there? Please don't think I want to find fault, he said, but droopy Christians always puzzle me. They do so much harm. I'm only a new Christian, but by God's grace, he said, this new convert, I want to show forth the praises of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Bone that we need God to set and supernaturally set into motion is the hand bone. Number three, I've got to hasten the foot bone. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A bone at the Dry Bones Baptist Church that revival will always bless is the foot bone. In Ephesians 6:15, the Apostle Paul tells us that the believer's spiritual armor, which covers head to toe, there's even attention given to the arch. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this spot in the Scriptures, the armor of God is not fancy garments of lace, linen, or silk, but armor. And when we think of armor, we think of steel. An individual must understand that feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is a clarion call for the believer to have gospel tracts in their pocket, a personal worker's New Testament in their hand, and above all a burden for lost souls in their heart. The songwriter wrote, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Friend, you and I need God to set and supernaturally set in motion the foot bone. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Breaking news, cobwebs on the church's gospel track rack. Well, there's a lot of things I appreciate about the Bible Baptist Church, but one of the things I appreciate about it is you don't need Indiana Jones to find the gospel track rack. I get a little bit worried when I'm preaching in a place where you almost need Pocahontas or Sacagawea to help you find the gospel track rack. Breaking news. Cobwebs on the church's gospel track rack, not a drop of gas in the Sunday school bus, and not even a corporal's guard out to blitz the neighborhood next to the church with gospel tracts isn't the red-hot embers of revival fires. My mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., once said, there will never be salvation at a church until there's visitation, soul winning from a church. The foot bone. Would you look at our text of Ezekiel 37? What a phrase, verse 7, bone to his bone. You see, we've got the skeleton of the church, and the skeleton of the church seems to be shattered. The skeleton of the church seems to be shattered. And so what does revival do? Revival there sets the bones together and supernaturally sets them into motion. Not only the knee bone. Why, Dr. Leithley, we can't have revival without prayer. Can't. It's a spiritual impossibility. So we need God to set and supernaturally set into motion the knee bone. And then we need God to set and spiritually set into motion the hand bone. And then we need God to set and spiritually set into motion the foot bone. Number four, and last of all, I've been looking forward to this one since the Lord laid the message on my heart. Number four, and last of all, the backbone. Genesis 2:23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A bone at the Dry Bones Baptist Church that revival will always bless is the backbone. In Genesis 2:23, the prophet Moses tells us that in the Garden of Eden, God performs the first surgery of mankind when he removes a rib from Adam to miraculously make the first woman Adam's mate, Eve. Can I go ahead and preach? Let's try that again. Can I go ahead and preach? Two of you said, all right. A person must pay close attention that the ribs, oh my, are connected to the spine or the backbone. And the only way that a great spouse works and a great spiritual awakening works is for the knee bone and the hand bone and the foot bone to be coupled with the backbone. Selah, muse on that for a moment. Dr. Lee Robertson once said, one of the chief reasons why we have so many mediocre Christians today is because of compromise and a lack of separation, a.k.a. also known as no backbone or a backbone that is in desperate need of an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Friend, you and I need God to again set and supernaturally set into motion the backbone. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13 that she may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Today, with personal standards of God's people dropping like never before, the church developing an appearance and an atmosphere of nightclubs in Las Vegas and trendy motivational life coaches being the new prototype for preachers, somebody needs God to start touching the spines with a spiritual awakening. It's interesting to me, Brother Dickerson, it used to be that when a Christian dropped their standards, they were ashamed of it. It used to be that way. Now, they want to be on a podcast Oh, bow your head. I'm nowhere near closing in prayer time. And while I'm on that, let me get on this. Perpetuity has never been promised to a podcast, but to the local church. Used to be, when Christians would drop their standards, they wouldn't tell anybody about it. They certainly wouldn't brag about it. There was a time where they'd have never thought, can I just go ahead and open a can and preach tonight? They'd have never thought of posting that on any social media platforms. There was a time when a Christian dropped their standards, they were ashamed of it. But not anymore. And it only goes to prove we need God. We need God. We need God to set and supernaturally set into motion the backbone. I could give you Mrs. Hamlin's cell phone number tonight. I could. I won't, but I could. You could call her. And you could ask her and say, in the 42 years that Dr. Hamlin this year been saved and preaching on the revival road, has he ever loosened up? Has he ever lightened up? And I believe with all of my heart she would say, no. I heard Lester Roloff say one time, he said, if you don't have any convictions, you can borrow some of mine till you get some of your own. We need a boatload of that in this hour. And I remember when it used to be that you didn't drop convictions, you added convictions the longer you were saved. I'm closing with this. I flew to a distant city for a revival meeting. I'd never been to this church before, didn't know the preacher other than he invited me to come and asked me to hold a revival meeting for him. He picked me up at the airport, and I hardly got situated, got the luggage in his vehicle, hardly got situated in his vehicle. And he said, Dr. Hamlin, while you're here, he said, there's several things I don't want you to say anything about. And he mentioned about 10 things. Now, I'd just flown to a distant city to be with him. He didn't ask me about the flight. He didn't ask me about my family. He didn't ask me about my grandchildren, with outside of the Bible, my favorite subject to talk about, my grandchildren. In fact, I hope during the revival meeting this week, and since we're going a whole week, you got all kinds of time, we'll have to do it all tonight, but I hope sometime during the meeting, when you come to the book table and you're buying books, when you come to the book table and you're buying books, I'm stuck. When you come to the book table and you're buying books, that you ask to see pictures of my grandchildren, because through the years you have bored me with pictures of your grandchildren, and now it's my turn to bore you. But Dr. Lethley, he didn't ask me about flight. He didn't ask me about Mrs. Hamlin. He didn't ask me about our four wonderful, precious, awesome grandchildren. There's Madison, and there's Mason, and there's Evan, and there's Brooklyn, and they're awesome. He didn't ask me about, he just said, well, you're here, Dr. Hamlin. I appreciate if you wouldn't say anything about these handful of things. There are about 10 of them, and man, he just went right through them. He got all done, and I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out of my pocket what I carry on my person all the time. It's a card case, and it has a 3x5 card on it. I pulled out my pen, and I always have this on my person. In fact, when I go to bed tonight, Brother Matthews, I will put it on the nightstand right next to my bed, because if you ever get a thought in the middle of the night or something you need to do, a call that you need to return, it doesn't matter how hard you say, I'll remember that in the morning, you won't. And half of think is ink. And so when I go to bed tonight, I will put this card case right on the nightstand. And I always have it on my person all the time. And I pulled it out and I said, now, brother, I want to make sure that I understood what you said. What were those things? And he said, oh, absolutely. And he went ahead and gave me the list. There are about 10 of them. I'm writing them down very, very meticulously. I'm writing them down. And then I said, now, my brother, I certainly don't want to get this list wrong. Can I read the list back to you? And he said, oh, that would be so nice. And thank you. And I said, you're welcome. And I was so stinking sweet. It was sickening. I almost had cavities from that conversation. And so I said, my brother, I want to make sure I got this list right. And I went ahead and ran the list back to him. He said, oh, that's right. That you got the list. And he said, now, while you're here, I don't want you to say anything about anything on that list. I said, my brother, I'm looking at this list, and I'm thinking I hadn't planned to say anything about any of these things before you gave me the list, but now I have to. I said, because if I don't now, you'll tell all your friends I'm for sale. It would have been a whole lot better if you'd have just let me follow God. Now I'm going to have to say something about all this. So how'd that meeting go? I had a good time. I did. I enjoyed myself. Interesting, somebody else took me back to the airport after the meeting, but I had a good time while I was there. You know, I go to the chiropractor. I don't ever mention this, but when I was a teenager, Mrs. Hamill and I were dating. I was going to pick her up for a date. High school sweethearts. I'd stopped at a red light. I never mentioned this, Dr. Leithley. And I reached down to change the radio station because I was going to pick her up and take her out to eat. And she listened to rock and roll music then. And I was trying to find it. I hope she's not watching right now. I just changed the radio. That ain't true. But I did change the radio. And as I leaned over to change the radio station, I got hit from behind at a red light. I was stopped. And a drunk driver going 70 plus miles an hour hit me. And I was stopped. My brother put the trunk in the back seat, the back seat in the front seat, put me in the glove compartment. And they had to use the jaws of life to get me out of the car. And Brother Dickerson, I never say anything about this, publicly or privately, but from that moment to this minute, I've had a little bit of back trouble. And so when I'm in town, I go to the chiropractor. And I go to the chiropractor, and he cranks on me so I can come and crank on you. But I'd go to the chiropractor and pay that, I think it's $25 a visit, I'd go without even having an adjustment. I'd go and pay $25 even if he didn't crank on me so I can crank on you. I'd still go. Because in that chiropractor's office is a skeleton. And on that skeleton is a backbone. And I just love to sit there and stare at it and think to myself, that's what you got to have to serve Jesus. That's what you got to have to do something for God. That's what you got to have in 2021, a backbone. I got to tell you, every once in a while, I try to think about things to preach against that nobody else is preaching against. Just to prove, Dr. Leithley, that I have a backbone. Oh, how we need God to set and supernaturally set into motion the backbone. Back to our text of Ezekiel 37. Bone to his bone. What makes the church work? What makes Christianity work? The knee bone. The hand bone. The foot bone. And then that important backbone. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.